I thought it was awesome. I thought there was so much action. I have so many things to talk about. So I believe in just keeping your mouth shut, you know.
The only driver in the world to win, in the world to win his first four Formula One races consecutively.
Piastri was like, no, we look like idiots.
Oscar just needs to change his job title. It should be driver/strategist for McLaren.
And you could see the excitement as well. You know what I mean? When he knew that he had a chance to catch Max and get to second, oh my God, it was so exciting to watch.
I think you are a dirty dog. I think there's someone's been paid off to shut up. I felt like that's what happened. It just was all murky, very murky, right? Welcome back to Away We Go podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Away We Go podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm your host, Diane Bortoletto, and I've just got back from Kununurra up in the East Kimberley in Western Australia. I'm back home in Perth, and I'm joined by the lovely Kira Gillen. Hi, Kira.
Hi, how are you? I'm also back. I was away in Corfu for the week and back in Berlin now, so... nice to be home.
Nicer to be on holidays, I think. But I was away for work, but it's my favourite work event of the year, the Ord Valley Muster. 10 days of just awesome back-to-back events in a really beautiful part of the world. But we've just had the Canadian Grand Prix, and it just feels like there's been months and months in between every race. I think probably because I've been busy doing stuff in between, but... So the Canadian Grand Prix held in Montreal. It's been one of the longest races on the Formula One calendar. I think it's only Monza, Monaco, and a couple of others that have been on the Formula One calendar for longer. A track length of 4.3 kilometres, 70 laps, but we didn't get 70 laps of the race, which we'll get into. And yeah, freezing cold, rainy conditions for the start of the main event. But all in all, I thought the race was pretty awesome. There was lots of action. What did you think?
I really enjoyed this. Same. I thought it was awesome. I thought there was so much action. I have so many things to talk about that I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. And oh my God, I can't believe that strategy. And when I was doing my own kind of predictions in my head, I was like, Jordan's going to get it. And then it's no, Kimi Antonelli had something to say about it. So yeah, it was really great. It was a very entertaining race for the most part, I thought. Yeah.
I agree. I actually picked Kimi Antonelli to win, and he did win. So I'm very happy with that. I picked George to win the sprint as well, which he won. I just felt like George would come back fighting after the break and want to prove himself, which he did, with pole position for the sprint, qualifying, pole, and then winning the sprint, and then pole position for the main race. But at the end of the day, it wasn't really how good or bad either of them were driving, because George retired because of an engine failure, power unit failure, which is a shame for him, but great for Kimi Antonelli and Kimi Antonelli fans, of which I am one. So fantastic result.
I know George had a retirement and it was awful. It really was awful. I'm definitely a Kimi supporter. It was really hard to watch him retire like that. I initially thought he had done something wrong, or was the pressure from Kimi or something like that. But I do think Kimi would have won anyway. I think Kimi just had more speed, more aggression, and just was able to really bring it to him. So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, God, what a way to go. What a way to go out.
No, and he was so angry. I've never seen George lose his cool like that. They call him Mr. Cool, Calm and Collected, and he really wasn't. The headrest, big thing that comes out of the car, he threw that over the bonnet of the car. He was thumping the car. He threw his gloves off and threw them on the ground when he got on the other side of the barrier. Yeah, he knows that. And he said to Martin Brundle on Sky Sports before the race, which you guys might not have seen because you watch the F1 feed, when he was interviewed, he said, yeah, it's still early in the season as far as the championship battle goes. He wasn't worried. He said, if there's a few points that I lose here and there, it's a long season ahead. It's those 0 point weekends that are going to make the difference. And that's exactly what happened.
And also, they said before the race that it had been, I can't remember how many races, but since early 2025, if not 2024, the last time George DNF'd. So he's had the most reliability.
He had a 38 race stint of completing every race. It was back in 2024, they said. Yeah, Silverstone,
yeah.
2024.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So it's funny. It's like the gods are out there saying, okay, we're going to tell you guys all the stats this weekend. And hey, guess what? We're going to break this weekend. It's like, what the hell? I do believe in jinxes. I do believe if you say, oh, they're going to get this kick in rugby or whatever, then they miss the kick. So I believe in just keeping your mouth shut, you know?
Irish thing, or is that just the Kira thing?
I think Irish people are also a bit superstitious. We definitely are superstitious. But yeah, I think it also is a Kira thing. But he even said to himself afterwards in the pen, he was like, someone out there does not want me to win this championship because I've just been, like him saying, I've been plagued with issues, with technical issues. And they're both driving the same car. Yeah, it is mad, but the Kimi Luck is steaming ahead.
Yeah, maybe it's not someone doesn't want George to win. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just like Kimi's got the gods on his side, perhaps.
Yeah.
The battle between those two was so good to watch. Intense during the sprint to the point where Toto had to get on the radio and tell Kimi to focus on the racing. And same in the race, Toto had to get on the radio and what did he say? Calm it down. Keep it clean. No, there was some phrase that he used that, but great to see the battles and great that there's no such thing as silver arrow rules or anything crazy like that. Like we had with McLaren last year, Toto said, they're free to race.
Girl, I know.
And Toto said, they're not going to give each other much room. That's racing. That's what races do. But I'll just quickly run through the top 10.
Yeah.
So Kimi Antonelli obviously won the race. The only driver in the world to win his first four Formula One races consecutively. The only driver in the world to get pole position and convert them into race wins, his first race win, three times in a row, three times consecutively. Now he's added a fourth race win to that. He's the only driver in the world to get his first four wins consecutively. Amazing. In second place, Ferrari. So happy for Lewis Hamilton. I was so happy. Oh, yes. In third place, Max. Fourth place, the other Ferrari, Charles Leclerc. In fifth place, Isaac Hadjar from Red Bull. Then Franco Colapinto in sixth. Again, that Alpine's just doing well this season. And then Racing Bulls, Liam Lawson in seventh. A great result for him. Pierre Gasly in eighth. Carlos Sainz in ninth. The Williams and Ollie Bearman in the Haas in 10th. Oscar Piastri was just out of the top 10 in 11th. And we had DNFs. Gosh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 DNFs and one DNS did not start. So Arvid Lindblad didn't even get off they had a delayed start on the grid because as the lights went on and before the lights went out, he was in his car waving and they had to abandon the start, do another formation lap. He got pushed off the track. Alex Albon in the Williams, another DNF.
Oh, he got hit by Piastri. Piastri got his 10-second penalty. Like, what a mare of a race for him.
Yeah, totally. What a mare of a race for McLaren, full stop, because Lando Norris also did not finish. He had a gearbox issue on lap 38. And then George Russell, as we talked about, lap 29, he was out. Fernando Alonso, lap 23, he was out with an issue with his seat. He said his seat was moving around or something. It wasn't mechanical with the car as such. And Alex Albon, we've mentioned. Oh, Sergio Perez as well. He had a suspension brake failure.
Yeah. Did you see the video of Perez when he's driving along, coming towards the pit lane, and then just suddenly looked like it was exploding? It was crazy. Yeah. The side of his car.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, Valtteri Bottas, he finished plumb last there in the other Cadillac. But yeah, so strategy, the McLarens starting on inters. When I think who else started on inters? Might have been, was it Fernando Alonso? There was only one other, I think.
I think there was a couple that started on inters, but they were further down the line. They were further down the track.
Yeah.
The whole argument was you're on the second row. You have a chance of winning this race and you start on inters. What were they thinking? And it's not like they don't have decent technology to tell them where the rain is and where it's coming from.
Exactly.
It was a crazy decision.
Was commenting on it, wasn't he, during the formation lap going, I think it's a mistake being on inters. He questioned it in a polite way and then ended up saying, I think it's a mistake. Look, it was just a nightmare race for McLaren's with Lando out. Yes, a weekend to forget for them.
100%. Yeah, I don't know if you saw any interview with him afterwards, and he didn't hide it. He's basically, so apparently Norris was like, oh, I think we made the right decision starting on the intros. It was a good call, whatever. And apparently Piastri was like, no, we look like idiots. We look like we don't know what we're doing. And he's right. And I get it. Like, you know, you should probably all save face and not say anything in front of the cameras. But he was on the radio saying, start me from the pit lane. This is the wrong decision. And they're down. So I think he's right to be annoyed.
Agree. Oscar just needs to change his job title. It should be driver/strategist for McLaren, you know.
There's some strange decisions when it comes to strategy. They really do, you know. This is the kind of thing you'd expect from Ferrari, right? That they would do something crazy like this. But anyway.
Let's talk about them. It's like fantastic result for Lewis to be on the second step of the podium and to have his mum there in the crowd. Also, just very wholesome and heartwarming to see. Yeah, Charles Leclerc was pretty unhappy towards the end of the race. Got distracted for a moment, and then all I heard him say was, absolutely no speaking to me unless it's critical. I think, was his race engineer giving him information on the gap between Max and Lewis or something like not really that relevant? I don't know, I missed it.
No, he was telling him how fast Lewis was going. So I think Lewis was doing 1.5 or something. Like, he was doing a certain speed and Charles was obviously going slower. And so he was, I don't know if he was trying to motivate him to say, hey, look, your buddy here, your teammate is going this fast. You can reach this. And because Charles, I think, had been having such a difficult weekend, I think he was just like, listen, buddy, I can't, unless this is critical information, I do not want to hear it. And like, Charles isn't amazing, right? He's so humble. He comes off afterwards. He talks about how great Lewis did and all of this stuff. And then he says, the one good takeaway from this weekend is that I have a teammate who performed well, so I can look at that data and figure out what I did wrong. He's such a humble guy. It's crazy.
That's so lovely. I haven't seen all the interviews yet. That's lovely. And a podium for Max Verstappen, his first of the season in third place. He was in second place for quite a long time and had Lewis right on his tail. But that Red Bull just, this new era of the Red Bull just doesn't have the same power as Ferrari, and he just couldn't defend. And Lewis ended up getting in front of him.
Going to have to say, look at it and say Lewis was ahead of Max at the start of the race and Max overtook him and Max had him for quite a lot of the race. And we were looking at the data afterwards, but Ferrari just had a great second stint on the mediums. They just, if they didn't have to change tires and stayed on the softs, he probably wouldn't have caught him. But that second stint on the mediums, like, he really came back from nowhere. Okay, there are a few virtual safety cars, so maybe that thing's a little bit, but Lewis really was flying. And you could see the excitement as well. You know what I mean? When he knew that he had a chance to catch Max and get to second, oh my God, it was so exciting to watch. He was like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I was screaming at the TV watching Kimi try to get past George, and then, and that whole battle, and I was screaming at the TV again, like, with Lewis overtaking Max. Lots of screaming going on in this house watching the race. So it was great. Qualifying was exciting. So George qualified on pole, Kimi, his teammate, on second. So it was Mercedes lockout on the front row, then Lando and Oscar in the McLaren. Then Lewis Hamilton qualified fifth, Max Verstappen sixth, Isaac Hadjar seventh, Charles Leclerc qualified eighth. Not a great result for him in the Ferrari. Arvid Lindblad in the Racing Bulls qualified ninth, and Franco Colapinto in the top 10. Again, that Alpine just there, isn't it? He's just lurking. He just appears. Like,
give it to Colapinto. The last couple of races, he's really managed to convert and to qualify to get into Q1, first of all. And then also to get to keep the position of six. I'm looking, there was quite a bit of a gap between him and Isaac. It's so impressive. And they had two. They had both him and Gasly in the points in the end of the feature race, which is so impressive. The qualifying was so exciting because Hamilton put it on pole first. And he thought, oh my God, this guy's got it. And then, if memory serves me, I think it was Oscar and then Norris or something like that. And then Kimi got it. And you're like, oh my God, because George had done a lap. And he thought, okay, George is not going to go again. We've maybe not got the tires. And so Kimi had done this amazing lap. And he thought, oh my God, this is it. And then George just pulls it out of the bag and gets pole. It was really impressive. It was, very exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting. And even the Sky Sports commentary team commented on that during the feature race that they loved watching quali yesterday.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Canada, the Montreal race is up on my list to to visit, actually. Freezing cold today. They were all complaining about how cold. The air temperature was 12 degrees and it was windy and rainy, so it would have felt colder than that. It just looks like a really cool city, a cool race. I'd like to go one day.
Yeah, I think so too. I think especially the French influence as well in Montreal, I think it makes it extra interesting, a really cool city.
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on Montreal and I discovered that, so they used to, across all the neighbourhoods, have laneways in between apartment buildings and townhouses and where all the rubbish collection used to happen, right? And then the councils, I think one by one, gave those laneways to the neighbourhood to look after and they've greened them up. They're called the green lanes now. So they've planted lots of plants. There's veggie gardens in there. There's spaces for the community to get together. When I was doing research, there's photos of all the neighbourhoods, neighbours getting together and having a long table kind of meal in these laneways in between their buildings and stuff. I thought that was really cool. And there's art, like street art and artwork and whatnot. Yeah, just looks like a cool city.
Yeah, that is really cool. I love that stuff. I love when you see neighbourhoods really coming together and trying to do more to make their neighbourhood flourish. So yeah, that is really cool. Yeah. Have you been to Canada?
Yeah, I have been to Canada. I spent time in Toronto. I did a tour of Ontario. I went to Banff and the Rockies in the summer, not in the winter. And I was travelling on my own this long time ago as a backpacker. And I just remember being in Banff just going, I just feel like I'm standing in a postcard. It's so beautiful. And I went to Lake Louise and as well, Vancouver was one of the first places I'd traveled to that I thought, oh yeah, I could live here. It's got a really similar vibe to Australia. I think Canadians and Australians are quite similar in lots of ways, both kind of laid back, easygoing sort of people. I really liked Canada. And I actually, I'm vegetarian now, but at the time I wasn't. And I even actually enjoyed bacon with maple syrup, which is something that they have. Yeah,
interesting.
Have you been?
Okay, cool. No, I've never been, no. But I would like to see Quebec and Montreal. Like, I would like to see that kind of, that part of it. And to be honest, the more I talk to people about Canada, the more I realise actually there's lots to obviously see. So, yeah, I would like to go definitely one day. Before we go to the spring race, do you want to talk about Isaac Hadjar, his race in the future race? Because I thought he not just him, but there's, but actually just in general, actually about the FIA, they were giving out penalties left, right, and center. Oh my God, the amount of people that had penalties, it was crazy. In fairness to him, he did pretty well. To finish fifth, I think, in that Red Bull is pretty good. Obviously, like all drivers, he would have preferred to finish higher. And he was obviously lucky that Colapinto was so far behind him. But yeah, it was interesting to see the kind of the two different penalties he got, one for changing direction too much when Charles was trying to overtake him. I actually can't remember what the other one was for.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it might have been, a yellow flag infringement. Obviously, he's had a tough run of it recently, and I just think it's good. They were saying something about how he was quite close to Max in general, and I just really, I like him as a driver. I think he's definitely very, we've talked about this before, there's an aggression there that makes me a little bit nervous, but I think he's got a lot of talent and I'm to see him up there competing with Max and not struggling. He's really quite talented and it's exciting to see, and I thought he had a good race.
Yeah, so he was really close behind Max in qualifying. So there was, the difference between them was, in the end, it was like not even a tenth.
Yeah.
It was like, half a tenth. What's that? 500? Yeah. Half a tenth. Oh, God. Yeah. I do words, guys, not numbers. I'm a writer. So
we're not mathematicians here.
It was really close between Isaac and Max in quali. It was a great result for him. And really good to see that second seat in Red Bull being this close to Max, right? And not having, we're not having those discussions that, oh, is he going to be sacked? Is he going to, no one can beat Max, no one can touch. He's holding his own. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, this is it. This is exactly why I wanted to talk about him, because I feel it's really worth mentioning. I think these guys get so much pressure, and especially in Red Bull. And I think that it's really nice to be able to see him, Colapinto and Lawson just being given a chance to actually show what they can do. And rather than this whole like, oh, you've got three races and if you don't prove yourself, you're gone attitude. Yeah. And I get it. It's a competitive world. But you can see now with Colapinto with a good car, he's up there in the net. And the same with Isaac. He's competing there with Max, as you said.
The sprint race, I've got to admit, I had to watch that twice because I did watch it after getting home late from an event and fell asleep. And then the second time while I was watching it, I thought, actually, it wasn't that boring. It was just that I was tired. It was pretty good. Yeah. George won. Lando finished in second. Kimi Antonelli in third. Oscar in fourth. Charles Leclerc and in fifth, followed by Lewis Hamilton in sixth, Max Verstappen in seventh place, Arvid Lindblad in the Racing Bulls in eighth, and that's the points finishes for the sprint. George, I just feel like he was pretty dominant during the sprint.
For me, watching Kimi, I thought, how do I phrase, I saw the real Kimi, if that makes sense. He's young, and I thought his age came through. Yeah. He was like, everybody, we've already said this, everybody was saying this is George's weekend. George loves Canada. He's won here before several times here.
Yeah.
This is, he's going to come back again. And I think me, in a way, I do wonder in a way if he's, no, I'm enjoying this winning streak of mine. I'm not just going to let you get in there. And he got a taste of what it was like to lose and not be able to beat George in the sprint. And it's funny, if I was given the chance to vote on who was going to win the feature race from watching the sprint, I definitely would have said Kimi, because I knew that it was like he was slighted. He was like, oh yeah, okay, you bested me in this, but you're not going to best me in the feature race. That's a champion, you know? I loved the battle between the two of them. Norris came in the middle. I would have loved it to be Piastri, not Norris, but it'd be a bit of a mix. And it was great to see then. And I think Toto has a feisty pair on his hands.
Oh yeah. I agree. I think George he's going to come out punching. He's really going to want to stamp his authority on that team as the senior driver, as the one who came into this season as the favourite. And very quickly, that's changed. Kimi has just proven that he's what do they keep calling him? A generational talent. And he's got the runs on the board now. It wasn't a fluke. He's done four in a row. Yes, he's young. It was so funny when Toto came on the radio during the sprint, actually, and said, Kimi, we don't talk about this now on the radio. We talk about this in the debrief. And I just thought, that's hilarious, because Kimi's Italian and wasn't he going to hold any of that in? I think Kimi,
so true.
He will learn and he'll be coached at Mercedes and probably given a good talking to about that, about airing all his grievances publicly on the radio for the world to hear. That's not the Mercedes way. And yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, but I hope they don't police him too much, because this is what makes it so entertaining. In the feature race, they did touch a little bit. And then I was a bit worried that Kimi was too aggressive and he was going to take George out. And then obviously then it would be exciting to see maybe Lewis up on the winning the race or something. But I love the passion and I love that he's going for it. And I love that he's not holding back and he's not scared of basically putting it to the senior driver who really should be winning streams ahead of him. Yeah. So I hope Toto doesn't police it too much. I was listening to commentary afterwards or something. Kimi didn't win. He didn't do F3. He only won a few races in F2. So he's not like he's come from winning championships. They saw something in him and they have created this environment for him to excel, which is great. So do they clip his wings? I don't know. I just really hope they don't. I really hope they say, look, keep it clean, but you're free to race.
I think they will try to contain his commentary. Yeah. As far as what he says over the radio. But yeah, I agree. I hope they don't enforce any kind of crazy team rules, because I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't go through another season of that. I just can't. I've still got PTSD from last year. So it's,
100%. 100%. But like when you saw the tyre selection for McLaren, I honestly thought, I was like, why are they both choosing the same tires? I was just like, oh my God, this twin effect that they have to go everything together. One person does one thing, so the other person has to fall in line with it. And I know that wasn't what happened, but it's same as you. It's the PTSD of everything being like, we have two number one drivers and that everything's fair. But one thing I will just say finally on Kimi, though, is I was impressed in his post-race interview at the mini podium for the sprint that he didn't go off. I expected him to, because I planned that he wouldn't have that training yet, or he would just be still emotional and still angry. And he was, to a degree, quite restrained. And I thought, okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, you have it there. You're not.
I did have the same thought, because he was clearly really emotional over the radio. But he did. He restrained himself, which is, I guess that's a sign of maturity. So, yes, he's young, but he's not an idiot, right? He knows that he can't.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be coming out all feisty and keep going on and on about it, because that serves nobody, not himself and not the team.
Yeah.
But I wanted to now just talk about rumours, because like I said, I've been on this work thing and I've only seen something in passing. I've seen that Gucci are talking to Alpine for a sponsorship. Our favourite guy, Flavio, he's Mr. Benetton, so he's connected in the fashion world, right? So that could be something. That's a rumour that I saw. I also saw Christian Horner perhaps connected to another manufacturer that's looking to come in to be a 12th team.
BYD.
Build Your Dreams, that's what it stands for, BYD. Chinese electric cars, that's what they make. I don't think they make.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Maybe they do make combustion engine
cars.
No,
it says here.
Electric. It's a BYD cars in Australia. I guess we're close to China. Makes sense. And they're cheap. So they come with all the bells and whistles that other cars come with, but they're at a much, much lower price point.
Great. How do you feel about a potential?
And another team? Bring it on. Yeah. With Christian Horner. Look, I used to really like Christian Horner before all the scandals. And then it's like, I think you are a dirty dog. I think someone's been paid off to shut up. I felt like that's what happened. It just was all murky, very murky, right? And then all the key people leaving Red Bull. So, look, I think there's something there linked to Horner. But now I kind of like to hate him. If he's like a villain in the sport. And he was always very outspoken and, you know, kind of like that about him in the paddock. For a 12th team, like, why not? There used to be more teams in Formula One years gone by. So it's not that unusual. What, you don't think so?
I, you know, been watching Formula One kind of dedicated for the last 4 or 5 years. So I didn't really know that there was lots of other teams beforehand. Yep. But my only thought is that if you're at the moment a Cadillac or an Audi or whatever, and you're not getting constantly into the points and you're not like getting into Q3, et cetera, and then they add another team in, I just feel like if their points are only going to go to 10, I felt sorry for the other teams, the ones, it'll always be the big dominant teams. Of course, you'll have days where McLaren will mess up and the two teams will go out. Like even I think Colapinto was saying, we would have finished P9 if it wasn't for Russell and the two McLaren boys not being in the race. So it's where we should have ended. And so, of course, you're going to have days like that. But I just feel like you're just going to have the same people dominating. And then maybe you won't, of course, because hopefully we're going to see Williams come through. And
it's cycles, because Williams was dominant for years and years. Ferrari was dominant for years and years and years. I'm not too worried about that. I just feel like it goes in cycles. And Ferrari, I would say they've always been in the top maybe 4 or 5 teams. They've not always been at the top, though. You haven't been at the top for a little while. I got none of those concerns. I just, the more the merrier kind of thing. I just think it'd be, I don't know about BYD though, as an engine, like, because they make electric cars. But that said, China, massive market. No Chinese driver on the grid. They've got Zhou Guanyu, reserve driver for Cadillac. If you're talking commercial terms, that's, like tapping into that.
Yeah.
If I was Formula One, I'd be like, not rich enough. Let's go to China, get some more money, you know. And then India will be next, you watch, because that's another massive market with a huge population base. Actually, I did hear mutterings that somebody made a call to say the Indian Grand Prix should be back on the calendar. I don't know if it will be, though. That was on the calendar, but not for very long. They built a whole dedicated track for it. We interviewed the Mercedes head chef who worked for Mercedes when Nico Rosberg won the title. Jason Best, I'll put a link in show notes to that episode. And he talked about the Indian Grand Prix and just how Indian it was. For example, if they needed supplies for their catering, like a guy would just be, I'm at the back gate, and they'd have to go and let him, this sort of tuk-tuk thing in. Everything else is so precise in Formula One. And then in India, it's just, it happens, but it's all the Indian kind of way. It was back then. I'm sure it's, perhaps it'll be different if it ends up on the calendar again. But yeah, that's interesting.
Just on that about the Indian race though, like I have heard that there is a kind of push more to bring in like Turkey coming back, Portugal coming in, I'm not sure Portugal was there before, to move away from the Middle East because of all the kind of stuff that goes on in the Middle East and the inconsistency with that, and that there may be a push to actually remove the Middle East races in the near future from the calendar and bring in others. So maybe you will see India back on the track. Ooh. I mean, because to be honest,
controversial.
Yeah, when the amount of money that I'd say the Middle East races mm-hmm. bring in, there's like, what, five? There's five. Unless Iran and Israel and America stop this war in the next few months, they're going to have to reschedule. They're going to have to do something about those races at the end of the year. Yeah. They're not going to have them. And if they're going to go from 24 down to 20, it's a huge impact financially. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the only rumor I heard recently.
I can't see them taking the Middle East off the calendar, but the money, no. Because Bahrain, the Prince of Bahrain mm. owns the McLaren team, right? So big connections all through there. So it's hard to imagine, just because, yes, F1 is a sport, but F1 is also a business, and it's always been about money. I'm just apologizing for just doing what I've got to do to make a living. I haven't updated the prediction table yet, but I will do that, and I'll put a post on Instagram. I'll put a post on social media for everybody to see so they can see where they're at. But yes, I did pick Kimi, so I'm pretty happy about that. And I picked George to win the sprint. So I'm hoping to still be toward the top end of the away we go predict the podium game. And again, I forgot to do Formula Live Pulse's prediction. How did you go with your predictions?
Too many. I didn't do very well. I got 15 points. I got George for quali, a feature race. And then I had Max on my podium, and I had Kimi in third on the podium because I thought George might win the feature race. So, yeah.
You picked Max?
Yeah, I put Max in there because I just thought, you never know with Max.
It's true.
With him. But I had a lot of faith in McLaren, who just let me down completely. So what can you do? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't see Ferrari coming at all, so...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I picked Lewis for third for the feature race, and Charles for third in the sprint race. So, yeah, didn't really make that. Yes, I did pick the Ferraris, and I put Oscar in somewhere as well. Anyway, I think that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? I would love to hear your thoughts in the comments. Keep it respectful. But, yeah, I'm all up for robust conversations. So, love to hear your thoughts. You can follow us on all the social media platforms, Away We Go Podcast, also on YouTube. Hello, if you're watching, and make sure you hit the subscribe button, and you can send us an email, hello@awaywegopodcast.com. Thank you very much, Kira, for joining me this week.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure.
See you in Monaco.
Oh, yeah, Monaco. Woo! Yeah, looking forward to that one. So we've got a break next week from racing, and we've got a really great episode actually with a special guest that Kira and I both interviewed. So yes, tune in for that next week, and then Monaco. I just love all the spectacle around us. I'm looking forward to that one. And if you're going to Monaco, don't forget to check out the Paddock Journal Atelier. They're set up in Cap Ferret, just outside of a little town not very far from Monaco, where you can go and get fitted out with fashion. They're going to have fashion stalls and displays and stylists and talks and things like that. Yeah, that sounds very cool. Check that out. And yeah, thanks for having us in your ears. Until next week, and until lights out. Away We Go Podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto.